the OTV Sports app. Listen to OTV Sports Radio 24/7, plus all your favorite podcasts, including OTV Gold.
Are you a complete rookie?
The OTV Sports app, available to download now from your app store. The OTV Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Stephen Ward is with us. Stephen, good morning to you. How are you getting on?
Morning, lads. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. What's your level of excitement slash anxiety ahead of this game?
I think it's just more of excitement, really. I think the game's probably been a long time coming around, and you know, I still speak to a few of the lads, obviously, that are involved. So, yeah, they're raring to go. I think it's obviously exciting with the chance of qualifying. So, yeah, really looking forward to the game.
We're having the conversation here. It's very early on in Stephen Kenny's managerial career for such a big game. So, obviously, you hope that his ideas and philosophy has already been ingested by the team. And you would have to say it looks like it has been. It looks like the shape of the team is getting to where he wants it to be. The performances haven't quite been there just yet, but there were two very different teams that he picked for the first two games. Obviously, with this game in mind, it looks like.
Yeah, listen, I think he was probably, you know, using those last two games to sort of see exactly what he had in the squad, see who would bed into the way he wants to play, especially for this game. So, yeah, listen, it's very early in his sort of tenure as manager, but I think there was really positive signs in the first couple of games. But, you know, listen, the size of this game, I think if we're being completely honest, if we can go there and win with style, everyone will be delighted. But I think the most important thing is getting a result. You know, he might have to tweak a few things on how we exactly play. But, you know, like I said, for him, it's massive to get us qualified. And if we can do that, then there's plenty of time. There's a good few months then where he can really, you know, impose his style of play. Obviously, listen, they'll have a game plan. They want us to play a certain way. But I think, you know, anyone watching the game, anyone who follows Ireland will just want us to win that game and move on to next month.
Yeah, I think because it is do or die, it's a cup match and there's going to be a winner on the night. A lot of different things can happen. And you can pick a game plan around that. We had Kevin Caban on yesterday. We were just playing that clip a minute ago where he was talking about the defensive high line and how it does leave you a little bit open. The benefits are obviously that you've got more players in the opposition's half of the pitch for pressing and getting the ball back quickly. The difficulties as a defender, I suspect, are that you're left one-on-one to defend quite a lot. Can you talk to us a little bit about what that's actually like to play in that style and the benefits that maybe you as a defender might have preferred with you know, a back four dropping back and a midfield kind of offering support and a security blanket?
Well, I think if first and foremost, if you look at the way Steve wants us to play, it's, you know, high press, very possession based. And I think obviously, you know, the main positives of being high and being up the pitch, you're a lot more compact and you do have a much greater chance of winning the ball in the opposition half, which, you know, as silly as it sounds, you're closer to their goal. You only have to make a couple of passes to create a chance. And, you know, on the other hand, it's a risk because, you know, you are so high and, you know, one lapse of concentration and a ball over the top and you can be in real trouble. But, you know, Stephen's a very, you know, very experienced manager and he'll have watched Slovakia. You know, he'll know their strengths. You know, they're pretty possession-based as well. You know, he'll check if they've got a lot of pace up front, pace in wide areas. So he'll judge his sort of pressing line off that. He won't. I can't see him being too, you know, sort of gung-ho. He knows how big the game is and you know, we will play that certain way. We'll try play out from the back. We'll try keep the ball and you know, create through the thirds to create chances. But, you know, I think when it comes to the defending side and, you know, where we press, you know, Stephen will have done his homework and I think they'll be well prepared for that.
How well have they adapted to that, in your opinion, in terms of pushing up a good foot, in terms of leaving that space behind? Because I guess, if anything else, Stephen, it's a bit of a mental shift for a defender knowing that you are leaving that space in behind you.
Yeah, but I think if you look at the back four and the lads that play in a club level, that they'll all be playing in at clubs that that use this system. They all, you know, play possession based, fullbacks high, you know, pressing from the front, and you know they'll be well used to playing a high line. It's just obviously, I suppose, with Ireland, you know, sometimes in games we've not always had our fair share of possession, and you know, naturally you drop deeper to make it harder for the opposition. You know, depending. Playing, obviously, if you're playing at Germany and you think you're going to be sort of out past, you have to have your pressing line a lot deeper. So I think, like I said, if you look at the lads that are playing in them positions, they're all playing high level in the Premier League. They're playing at teams that are, you know, very open in terms of pressing high, getting up the pitch. So it won't be anything new to them. You know, obviously it'll maybe take Stephen a bit of time to get the team playing exactly how he wants to play, but there's no reason why he can't get parts, you know, little bits here and there as the games continue. And I think you're seeing that in the first couple of games. You know, I think we had more possession in both games, which is, you know, probably something that's quite rare for an Ireland team, you know, especially two games on the trot. But, you know, they will. They'll use their line, as I say, on how Slovakia play. You know, I don't think Stephen, as a manager, he's well experienced. He wouldn't be naive to have a really high line if they had a lot of pace up front. So he'll judge it off them. But I still feel the style of play will be the same. And like I said, the lads, I think we're lucky enough now. If you look at the squad, we've got a lot of players playing in the Premier League against top-level opposition. And most teams in the Premier League want to play the same way. They want to press high, they want to get up the pitch. And, you know, they'll all be well used to it. You know, for me, it won't take the team long to adapt to how he wants to play, because, like I said, they're all, well, most of them are doing at club level.
The one thing about the Seamus Coleman injury is that it sends Matt Doherty a message that not only was he first choice for Stephen Kenny's first two games, he is definitely going to be first choice for tomorrow night's game. Does that offer a boost going into an international camp, not being under the cloud of mystery about whether or not it's going to be him or me?
No, not really. I think, obviously, listen, everyone goes in hoping they're going to play or wanting to play. And the sort of the way it is within the Irish squad and the sort of the togetherness, there's not really that element of massive competition. If you pick to play, the other player will support you and so forth. So, you know, for me, listen, it was a big decision. It would have been down to Stephen. Both players have done well this season. Obviously, I think Seamus has started absolutely flying for everything. Matt's obviously got his move to Tottenham and bedding in well there. So, yeah, it was a big decision, one that he's probably maybe a little bit relieved not to have. But I think, you know, not having Seamus around, I think day-to-day is a big loss, because he is the captain. You know, he's a leader. He's really good around the place. And that'll be a real miss, I think.
The defensive issues that we had in the first couple of games, how much was that down to just it being a new system, the off-season, the first few games back after lockdown? Was there anything that you saw that would have concerned you in the medium term that actually, you know, someone there needs to step up and decide, right, I'm going to be the leader of this back four and I'm going to make sure that everything is organised?
Listen, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think what people forget is that, you know, not many of the lads had played any, competitive football. You know, they'd just come off the back of a, you know, a really strange season where there was a break. They come back playing. You know, they had a couple of weeks off and they were straight into playing international football before, you know, kicking a ball for their club level. So, yeah, listen, you find it in a lot of pre-season games. Your timing might be off. You know, you might be a yard slower stepping up. But these things come after 2, 3, 4 games. And, you know, thankfully, most of the lads have gone back to their club. They've played, you know, a handful of matches. So that they should be much more prepared, much sharper, and sort of back playing to the level that we know they can.
And is that easy enough? Like, it's as simple as that. So Shane Duffy's played a load of football since then. John Egan's played a load of football since then. Like, there was definitely one shout that if Coleman had been playing right back for those two games, because he is such a vocal presence, that a little bit of the disconnect between the centre-backs in particular might not have been allowed to happen.
Yeah, listen, Seamus is a leader and it's someone who's a leader on and off the pitch. But like I said, with the lads that are there, they're all experienced players. They're all playing at a really high level. lads know their own jobs, you know what I mean? Duffy's a leader. He never stops talking on the pitch. John Egan's a leader at Sheffield United. You know, some players, you know, maybe don't speak as much on the pitch, but they lead with their performances. So the lads know what to do. And like I said, anything that Stephen's asking them to do, you know, getting up to the pitch, setting their press line higher, it's something that it won't be new to them. You know, obviously it'll be new to them in an Ireland shirt, but they'll be doing it at club level. So, you know, I feel the lads will be much better prepared for playing in the way that Stephen wants this, you know, this week. And like I say, hopefully we can get a result. If we can do it playing that style and playing attractive football, they're brilliant. But, you know, I don't think the lads will mind if they come away with a scrappy 1-0 either.
If Stephen Kenny goes with his three midfield regulars that are fit tomorrow night, Stephen. It's going to be Conor Howard, and it's going to be James McCarthy, and it's going to be Jeff Hendrick. How do you protect James McCarthy, and how do you allow him to protect the back four a little bit better than what we saw in the first game against Bulgaria?
Listen, like I said, it was early in sort of the pre-season. James has had a lot of football since then. He's played really well. Connor's done well. Jeff's obviously doing really well at Newcastle. So, listen, the three of them in there are fit lads. You know, Jeff, obviously, I've played with for years. You know, he gets around the pitch. And I think, like I said, Stephen will judge it himself. You know, there'd be a certain way that they play in the midfield. He might sit one of them a bit deeper and play a number 10 or play two higher off one. You know, that remains to be seen. But, you know, I don't think he'll want us to be isolated with just one sitting up front of the back four. But I think we will go there and press like he wants us to. So it'll be interesting to see how they set up. But I think, listen, we've got legs in the team, and that's most important. And I think, you know, the lads now, like I said, you know, sometimes it's difficult for people to understand, but them first couple of games of pre-season, you're really finding your feet. You know, you're mentally just getting sharper. Your legs and your mind are just getting back used to getting to the level that you need to be. And like I said, the lads have had that now. They've had, you know, three or four games. They'll all be a lot fitter, a lot sharper, have a lot more match practice in them, which is something that you know, it's so important. So, you know, I think all the lads will be ready to go, and you know, they'll be fit. And you know, hopefully, like I said, we can put on a really good performance.
The one last thing I wanted to ask you about, I don't know if you've played against both of them in training, but the two Callums, it's O'Dowd and Robinson, that's the one area of the team where there's a little bit of doubt about who Stephen Kenny might pick, I think. I think we kind of know largely the makeup of the rest of the team at this stage. What are they both like to play against? Who's faster of the two, and who would you pick?
It's difficult to say who's faster. I think Callum's probably... He's deceivingly quicker than you think. He's very sharp, Callum, on the ball. He moves it really well. He's got a good drop to his shoulder. Callum's probably a little bit more explosive, more of a sort of a more direct forward player. Callum's more
which
of a winger.
Callum?
Yeah, you mean O'Dowd? O'Dowd is deceptively quick.
Callum,
and...
yeah. Callum O'Dowd is, you know, he's the one that's a bit, you know, probably 5 yards sharper. He drops his shoulder well. But Callum Robinson's obviously... You know, he's got that sort of forwards instinct. It's a difficult decision for me. You know, I'd also have Robbie Brady in contention there. I know he's not played a lot of football, but I always think, you know, for the years that I played in the squad with Robbie, what he brings, his energy, you know, his set-piece delivery is unbelievable. Always gives us a chance to score, I think. You know, obviously showed that coming on in Bulgaria. So, listen, I think the most important thing is we've got real options out wide now. You know, James McLean as well, who, you know, what he's going to give you. Especially in a big game like this, he'll give absolutely everything for the cause. So it's nice to have them options. I wouldn't want to be the one making the decision, but I'm sure whoever Stephen goes with will be ready to go.
Good stuff. And your prediction, it sounds like a scratchy 1-0 win. Maybe on penalties, who knows?
To be honest, mate, I think it'll be tight. I think they're a decent side, but I think we've got the capabilities of going there and winning. But like I said, listen, I hope we win 2 or 3-0 and we play them off the park, but I'll be more than happy waking up Friday morning if we've won 1-0 and Duffy scored a header from a set piece, I'd take that all day long.
That sounds like the most likely outcome of all. Great to have you with us, Stephen. Thanks a million. Cheers.
Good, guys. Take care.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Stephen Doyle, who would you pick?
I was kind of looking through the team. I think he's going to go with something similar to the team that started against Bulgaria. Look, personally, listen, Ger, I watched back the game last night against Finland, I suppose maybe the first 60 to 75 minutes. I actually don't think it was as bad as a lot of people made out. I thought particularly the first 45 minutes, considering it was a team under a new manager with there was three changes going into that match in the midfield, and that they were trying to play this new way that Stephen Kenny wants them to play, I don't think it was actually as bad as people are making it out to be.
Okay, just remind everybody, because a lot of people will have forgotten, the first team that he picked was what we think is going to be 9 of the team that starts tomorrow, probably. It was the back four that is the usual back four now. Goalkeeper is the same goalkeeper. And the midfield trio, the first day out against Finland in the 1-1 draw, was James McCarthy...
Hendrick and Harahan.
And we think that's his first choice... central midfield. So in the Finland game, who were the three midfielders?
Yeah, I think he will stick with that, because if you look at Harahan has had two Premier League starts. He's played in the EFL Cup as well. He's got a goal and assist for Villa so far this season. So he's playing really well. And I think the thing that Harahan has is that he's our best set-piece taker. I think Robbie Brady is excellent as well. But I think he's not as consistent maybe with his ball delivery. We know he can be brilliant at it, but he's not as consistent. He had a couple of cross chances in the Finland game early on, and they went a bit too close to the goalkeeper. So for set-piece and that kind of thing, and as well, Harahan will be a bit more match-sharp. Brady, as we know, is still coming back from an injury, and he's only played about 40 minutes, I think, so far for Burnley this season. So looking at Jeff Hendrick as well, he's had a great start to his career at Newcastle United. He's looking really sharp. He's given he's not being relied on as much defensively by Steve Bruce as he might have been by Sean Dyche. So I think that's given him a little bit of freedom and the ability to express himself a little bit more, which I think helps Jeff Hendrick a lot. And I think that definitely earns him a start as well, because he's really match sharp. And I think McCarthy as well. Now, the thing with Jake McCarthy is, and I watched Harry Arter, especially in that game against Finland, like Harry Arter didn't do very much. The game kind of passed him by. I thought Jason Malumbi was excellent in that match. I thought he was really, really good. And I think if Jason Malumbi was playing more regularly for Brighton, he'd be in there, because he's fantastic. Every time he gets the ball, he's trying to get forward all the time. So I do think he's a brilliant option off the bench.
So is there a chance Malumbi starts, do you think?
I think it's just because of the lack of game time in the Premier League this season. He's been on the bench once and wasn't in the squad for the other three games. He's played twice in the EFL Cup, once against United. So that'll definitely help him. But I think he'll still be on the bench. I think he'll go with the more experienced players like James McCarthy. Now, I find with James McCarthy is, as you know, I'm a big fan of his, but the thing is, he's playing in a Crystal Palace team where he's got a midfield partner in James McArthur, and I think he needs that. I think if he's playing in a three-man midfield and he doesn't have that support around him, I think maybe sometimes he can get a bit lost. I'd prefer to see McCarthy in there with Malumbi, perhaps, but I think Kenny will stick with McCarthy and the two lads, Harahan and Hendrick, each side of him.
Can Hendrick, or not Hendrick, Harahan drop back at all to give McCarthy a little bit of a dig out in that position?
I'm not too sure about Harahan defensively. Like even watching him for Aston Villa,
that's not his gig.
As reliant.
That's not his gig.
Exactly. And I'm not being critical of him. As you say, Jared, it's not his gig. No, I think maybe, and this is the problem, Hendrick, is he the man for that as well? I don't think so either. But look, is that what we're looking for from these players? You know, Stephen Kenny has been talking. I was at the press conference on Sunday, and he said he wants to go out there and attack. He's looking at going there and being positive against Slovakia. And perhaps he's thinking that if we can press these guys high up the fields, that we won't have to, you know, concern ourselves too much. But look, as well, you'd be hoping as well that the defence will be a little bit better. Looking back in that Finland game as well, lads, like I found, like Matt Doherty, I know a lot of people are kind of wondering, is he not going to show the form he has shown for Wolves over the last couple of seasons? But to be fair to him, Finland didn't really attack down that left-hand side for that match. So he had a really quiet afternoon. And the times that he was called upon, he was actually quite sharp. He made a really good defensive header in the second half when Callum O'Dowd went to sleep and lost his man. So I wouldn't be as critical of Matt Doherty as some people have been. I thought Enda Stevens maybe was a little bit quiet. But I found defensively, look, this is the key thing about the midfielders as well. And I know sometimes you might want to look for protection from your midfielders. But I thought the two centre-halves, they were coming out of position maybe a little bit too much. I saw them doing jobs that your full-back should be doing, or that your central midfielder should be doing, and they're getting pulled out of position. And if you look at that game again, our back four was really disjointed so many times during that match. You want to see your back four nice and solid and have that bit of cohesion there. And you would like to think that John Egan and Shane Duffy, with a few more games under their belt, looking a bit more sharper, will be better this time out. I said this after the game, I tweeted about it. Shane Duffy, if you look at his record last season for Brighton, he only started and finished 12 matches last season for Brighton. Seven matches a sub, and four of those were for 5 minutes or less. Now, centre-halves, as we know, they need match sharpness more so than any other player on the pitch.
Richard Dunn said it yesterday. He said when the Carabao Cup or the Rumbelows Cup, as it might have been when he was playing, and he'd be told he wasn't playing, he was like, I want to play those games. So when he was given a day off training, he was like, I actually want to go on training because I can get in my groove. So, fingers crossed, Duffy fully fit and playing and scoring loads and loads of goals for Celtic and in the SPL. Was it the team of the month or the team of the week? Whatever. He's been rightly lauded for his performances so far. So your 11 is essentially, we know the back eight. Who's your front trio? Because Looking at the two team lineups, and I kind of missed this, O'Dowd has started both games and got 60 minutes one game and 74 minutes the next game. So he likes himself a little bit of Callum O'Dowd.
Yeah, he does. And I really like Callum O'Dowd as well. And I remember when we first spoke to him a couple of years ago, when he was brought into the squad first, he comes across as a, without being, without being too cocky, he comes across as a very confident kind of player. And that's what you want from your attacking wingers, your flair players. But I just think he hasn't played for Bristol in the league yet so far this season. He's only come back fit and was back in the squad at the weekend, still didn't come off the bench. So he'll be lacking match sharpness. And for that reason, I'd be leaving him out. And I just think as well, I don't think he offers enough protection to the fullback. A couple of times I felt Matt Doherty was left a little bit stranded in that game. And I think I'd prefer to see Callum Robinson coming in there. Now, I know Callum Robinson has been playing more as a lead striker for West Brom since making that transfer from Sheffield United. We actually did his first game, myself and Kenny Cunningham, against Leicester City. West Brom obviously haven't been great, but Callum Robinson, he's a very quick, pacey player. He does get defending as well. Like he's well able to cover his full back. I think I'd like, even though he's more inclined to play on the left, he can play on that right-hand side. I'd be more inclined to put him in instead of O'Dowd. And Connolly, I think, picks himself as well. You know, as Kevin was speaking about him there last night to Joe, he has improved. He's got better and better the more Premier League matches he played. And I do think Dave McGoldrick should start because Adam Ida wasn't bad against Finland and against Bulgaria. The one thing about Adam Ida is he's brilliant at holding up the ball. He very rarely loses possession. He maybe needs to work a little bit on not getting cut offside as much. But again, he's only coming off the bench for Norwich so far this season. Hasn't had many starts. He scored a goal in their opening game. So he's definitely a great option off the bench. But I think I'd be going for Dave McGoldrick. He's a Premier League player. We know he likes to drop deep as well. He's very difficult to mark. Scored at the weekend, so he'd be coming in full of confidence into the team on Thursday night. So I definitely would go for McGoldrick and Robinson and Conley on each side.
He's got
three. But I think there's possibly O'Dowd will be picked by Kenny. It's hard to know, really.
You would hope that O'Dowd, that actually the form of the players is what matters most. And then there's a genuine sense of competition, because that was the point Kev was making. And like all of a sudden, you know, there's five or six up front. He could pick Robbie Brady, Adam Ida and Callum O'Dowd. And you wouldn't be like, oh, that's a disaster. This is the shambles. What's he doing? It's like, okay, I can completely see what he's trying to do here. He's given Adam Ida the two starts and Robbie Brady never let Ireland down. And then you've got an extra threat from set pieces as well. And he likes Robbie Brady. He's talked about Brady before. I don't think that's going to happen. But if Callum Robinson doesn't start on the back of the best start to a season that he's ever had, then you would begin to kind of say, well, this isn't actually based on form. He's got his ideas and he's already got his favourites three games in.
Well, and maybe not so much the favourites, but he's got a game. But maybe you could look at it in the sense that he's got a game plan and he knows the kind of players that he needs to fit that game plan. So you could argue that way as well and think, well, actually, it's pretty good to see from an international manager that because, you know, if there is maybe one or two players not picked on form, he basically will be picking a back four and most of his midfielders based on form. So if there's a couple of forwards maybe selected because of what they can offer to the team and not because of what they've done over the last couple of weeks, I don't think we could have too many complaints. The one thing I would say as well, Ger, which is the key thing I wanted to highlight from Kevin's interview last night, was that he spoke about getting the units and distances right. And this is something I was screaming out at me watching the game last night. There was a few times where we got into the final third of the pitch or into the Finland half, and an attacking player would have the ball and there was nobody beside him or, you know, 20 yards of space around him. So I do think that's something to do with the fact that the players went into that Finland game having no game time under their belt. They were all maybe struggling to get themselves up to the pitch of the game and to support their teammates when they got into attacking positions. So you would like to think that when we do press in the attack, that we'll have everybody coming in around the attacking players. And I think that will show an improvement, or maybe it will show that Stephen Kenny's game plan can work because the players are a little bit fitter and able to get up the pitch a little bit quicker. You just don't want to see these attacking players or us getting into attacking positions and then wasting them because there's nobody there to support the players. So it's like, look, we've heard John Giles talking about it so many times. When you see a team playing, you want to see those the lines, the four, the three, all moving together in one block up and down the pitch, and that they're not getting too separate or too far apart.
100%. Absolutely. And look, that's the coaching and that's the work that's done on the training pitch. And again, you know, we're not rushing to conclusions on the basis of the first two games or the third game tonight, but like, you know that the fans want to see something, and it's high stakes is all I'm saying from Stephen Kenny's perspective. There's a lot of pressure.
It is, and Jared, look, he's put the pressure on himself, because he said, he's saying these things unprompted, but again at the weekend he went back to the fact that this is a unique opportunity for this team. We've got this tournament in our own city. We can play these group matches in Dublin, you know, whether it's in front of fans or not. This is a home tournament for us. And he even said it may never happen again. So he's quite happy to load that pressure on himself. I don't think he's shirking the pressure. He knows what kind of pressure is on him going into this game, that he has to get a result. And we've got a great opportunity as well, Jared, because, you know, it's Bosnia or Northern Ireland in the final. And, you know, all due respect, you know, Northern Ireland haven't really fired again under the new manager, Ian Barraclough, who was a great guy and a great manager as well. But they just really haven't got going. So maybe this is the opportunity to get them, or Bosnia as well, who we've already seen off in the playoff before. So it is a brilliant opportunity. And Stephen Kenny recognised that fact. And I think he's quite happy to take that pressure on. I'm sure he'll be reminding the players of that in the dressing room on Thursday night.
Oh, and you've done a scouting report on Slovakia?
Yeah, well, the first thing to remember here, lads, is that we have Dehoudou over Slovakia as a sporting nation this year. Thank you, Sam Bennett. You crushed Peter Sagan. The greatness of our country over yours has already been established. So you should put that out, first of all. Between Stephen and Shane, we've got a few good tidbits already this year. Shane was saying earlier on that manager Pavel Hepal is under a bit of pressure. Is it because he's actually Czech? Maybe. Don't want to cause any bit of friction inside the Slovakian camp here. But he did coach the Slovakian under-21s, brought through a lot of those players in recent years. And this is very much a project that is still on the up. Curiously, they finished third in their qualifying group with 13 points and a goal difference of 2. Ireland also happened to have a goal difference of 2 and 13 points. So they finished fairly even in their qualifying campaign. And their Nations League results have basically been the same as well. They were beaten 3-1 by the Czech Republic and drew 1-1 with Israel. How they're going to play tomorrow night remains to be seen. Stephen already has mentioned a couple of the people who are going to be out. They've played a 4-3-3 quite a lot recently. And that midfield three is where a lot of Ireland's attention, you suspect, will go. You've got Hamsik, you've got Kuka in there, who've been around for quite some time, both well into their 30s at this point. Both their curves are both on the way down, is what I would say about them. But Lobotka is somebody whose curve is only going one way. You mentioned the quarantine that he's had to go through, but he is available. He is fit. He did move to Napoli for 24 million quid in January. His reputation is massive in Serie A at this point. By far, I think, their most dangerous asset in midfield, although you can't look past Hamsik as well for a bit of profile. Dubravka missing is a big thing, as has already been mentioned. The two players you're looking at here, it could be Marek Rodak, it could be Dominic Greif. Greif played against Dundalk last year, saved a penalty in the Champions League defeat against Slovan Bratislava. And then Marek Rodak plays for Fulham, so they might go for the Premier League experience between the sticks. At the back then, you've got Skriniar, of course, who was linked with Manchester United quite a bit from Inter Milan during the off-season. He's obviously going to underpin their entire efforts at the back. His defensive partner, Denis Vavro, I guess before the season was thought to be part of an outstanding heart of their defence, but he hasn't really kicked the ball all season for Lazio. And then up front, so we've gone through the midfield and the defence, you've got Robert Buzanic, who is 20 years old, plays for Feyenoord, and could be in with a shout of starting if Duda doesn't get the nod. But from our last time playing them, there is no Martin Skrtel. That is the big change. He retired from international football last year, a bastion of Slovakian football. Our overall record is 1 win, 4 draws. And our one win came in 2007 without Robbie Keane available. He was there for the return fixture as Ireland drew 2-2. The goals coming from Kevin Doyle and Stephen Ireland. It was immediately after that game that Stephen Staunton gets a call informing him that Stephen Ireland's grandmother had passed away. So that was the game. The 2-2 draw with Slovakia was Stephen Ireland's last game. Happier times, though, include the 1-1 draw in Bratislava, the 2010 disco slash party slash champagne football train, whatever you want to call it. So we've got plenty of happy memories of Slovakia games And I don't know, I give them the edge tomorrow night, slightly.
Right. Well, here's hoping you're both right on that one. Steve-O, thanks very much for joining us this morning.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.